What's going on, all you podcasters? Stone Cold Steve Austin coming at you. Reminding you to check out this kick-ass event going down Friday, March the 16th. For those of you who don't know off the top of your head, that's 316. Some numbers that mean a whole damn lot to Stone Cold Steve Austin. What we got going on is the Four Heads Brewery is going to be presenting Citywide Sounds Rock Paper Podcast Edition, and it's going down at the Old Rock House. Right there, you're going to see the Hillary Fitz Band. What? The Cara Louise Band. What? And Nick Gussman. They're going to be performing. Tickets are only $7, and $1 each of those tickets are going to the Citywide Charities. So get off your asses Friday night if you ain't doing nothing and head down to the Old Rock House for some kick-ass rock and roll and little rock paper podcast hosted by my buddy Shane Presley. And that's the bottom line, because I said so.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide, where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out FreddieDeAngelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, FreddieDeAngelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Chris Curd with Kodak, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
This song is called Days Change.
Failed to realize
fade away with you.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Chris Curd.
Hey, hey.
Welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. This is very, very cool, very exciting. We haven't hung out on the show since like July 2015 or something, man. It's been a long time.
Seems like it has been quite a bit of time.
So we got a lot to catch up on. But
absolutely.
This is just always cool because, like, you've been a friend for, probably like 99.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know.
Way back.
We've known each other a long time now.
To where we don't even count numbers anymore.
Yeah. So this is always fun to get a chance to catch up and hang out and stuff. And obviously it doesn't happen as often as we'd like with both of our crazy lives. And now you are a new father.
Yep, absolutely.
So you have like zero time.
I can always make time.
Yeah. But how's that been, man? I mean, like, just a year old now, right?
Yep, yeah. She just turned a year old on the 21st of February. It's really good. I would say a simple way to put it together is it's the most gratifying thing that I will probably ever do in my life.
Yeah.
It's one of the toughest things that I've ever had to do. But to see her flourish every single day and become this kid and just grow, I'm growing as well as a person. So it's not only helping me, it's helping just our family and our life. So
yeah, man, that's incredible. Like, I'd also imagine, excuse me, knowing you, I imagine, probably inspires a lot too. Like, it's got to. Like,
I think it's definitely changed the way that I write music and I look at that, the art itself. My perspective has definitely been widened. The picture is widened because, you know, I'm seeing it from different sides. And sometimes I write when I'm sad. Sometimes I write when I'm happy. And this just kind of is one of those extra pieces that comes with it because it's just so much emotion and so much energy that goes into raising a child that you have those little small instant gratifications up to the big ones, you know, turning 1 year old. Mm-hmm. We've kept her alive for a year, you know. It's like that's a huge thing for us, huge staple. So
sure.
It definitely comes with its ebbs and flows in life. And yeah. I'm just happy to just be your father and to see myself grow as well as while she's mm-hmm. growing, so.
You guys also just recently moved out to the country here.
Moved out to the country, man.
Yeah. Going to the country.
Going to eat me a lot of peaches. Now, we lived in the South City, St. Louis, for the last 10 years. And having this child, having little Zeppelin, just kind of put things in a different perspective for us. I always wanted to build a studio. I always wanted to have that little escape piece, but not have to be where I'm renting a piece of property or I'm, you know, on somebody else's time. I always wanted it on my own. So for the last couple of years, I've been really just working on getting the equipment that I need to have my own little studio. And at the same time, we've been trying to have a child. So it kind of all went in the same time. We knew we needed to move. And my wife has been a very, very good person enough to know and understand that I need certain things as well as she does. So this kind of house kind of fell into our lap.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't even looking in this area specifically. We wanted to move closer to her family because, you know, having grandparents around allows you to be able to move and be accessible a little bit more. So we did it for that favor, but also because we wanted to be able to slow down a little bit in our life and to just take in everything that's coming in. Mm-hmm. Now, the city of St. Louis has been we've been very grateful to be a part of it, and it's such a huge mecca and beam of light that's going on right now, and that's the one thing that attracted us to it is just the people in general. But I think this chapter in our life has really allowed us to really focus on the things that really matter, and it's family, and to really hone in on each other so that we know that we're being taken care of. So that's the main reason why I moved out to the country.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love it every day.
Yeah, man. I love it out here as well. I drive to the city probably every day, like whether it's going to a show or working at Oyster Bar or doing the podcast. But you know, so I do put a lot of mileage on the car, but
for sure.
I don't mind. I mean, the drive's not too bad, and I'm used to it by now. You know, I've been doing it all my life, so.
Absolutely.
But I like being out here, and then just go every time I go to the city, it's just to play and have fun. So
you got some choices.
Yeah. So you, but we're here also because you do have a brand new music project you're working on, Codec. Mm-hmm. And you have a big show coming up on March 30th over at Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room, which is just a great room.
It's always been fantastic. Yeah. It's a very unique, just little raw type of sense of feeling that you get because it's just you're right on top of that artist when you come and watch them. And I don't think a lot of people get to experience that, you know, when you go to the big clubs and see, like, you know, the band that I was playing in prior, the Hush List, you know, we played big shows where it was 5 to 1,000 people. So, you know, it's, you don't get to necessarily feel like you're a part of the show all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really wanted to do this with the Codec. The Codec is really just the name of, basically just speaking of just me and the other person that's playing this project. We wrote some songs together, and he was also contributing to songs that I've had in my Rolodex for the last several years that I've never been performing by myself. So this is one of those ventures where I'm able to just go out and do a solo show and to catch people off guard just a different way, you know, just to kind of pull you in and make you be a part of what I'm doing instead of just seeing what I'm doing. You know, I want it to be more intimate and more raw of a session. So Blueberry Hill is the best place to do that.
Yeah. And you, so this would be the Pirate Signal release party.
Absolutely. Awesome. Good guys.
Oh yeah. Love those dudes. And, bringing along friends, Hounds and, the Mercs also. Yep. So a really, really great bill. Going to be a solid night for sure.
Absolutely. The Hounds are great. It's a 3-piece band and they just have a big sound. And I think they just recently released a record too, not too long ago. So they've got some vibe and some heat coming, so I'm sure it's going to be a packed house. I mean, I think it's like 250, 300 people that can fit in that little venue. So regardless, you know, if you don't have tickets yet, go ahead and get them. They're on Ticketmaster, and you just look it up by Pirate Signal. It's their CD release show, and those guys are great guys, man. They really are, and I'm really happy that they finally are able to release this record. Yeah. They've been sitting on it for a while.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes when you play music with... just in a being in a band, or if you're doing it solo, if you don't feel like it's ready and it's not right, you know, you just sit on it, and most people don't really realize that you're working on things like that and making moves. And, you know, I've known these guys for probably the last 2 years because we all practice at the Limp together, so we'd get to sit in on sessions and they'd come and sit over and watch us play, and you know, we really got to relate and know these guys really well. And it's awesome to see where they came from and what they have now, because the record that they're getting ready to release is a history of the last couple of years, you know, and that's important for people to see that, because that's a development of not only playing with other musicians, but developing and growing as your own person. So it's really neat. I hope everybody can make it out. I really do.
Yeah, man. You so you said you'll be playing that evening with your friend, right?
Yeah, I got my buddy Rhino Burns. We played music years ago in a cover band, and we just are always, whenever we see each other, it's like that one friend you don't get to see all the time, but when you do, you just kind of pick up where you left off. And it's always a good time. He's a very talented guy. So we've been working on some material, and I send him stuff all the time, so he's always constantly sending me stuff back, and it just makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah, I could do it by myself and just do it acoustic, but to have a little bit of djembe and some rhythm section to it, and maybe a little shaker here and there, it kind of adds to it. It's just that little bit of extra ambiance. So, great friend. It's going to be a great night. I'm sure there's going to be silly things that are said. We're just that type of people. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Tell me about Codec, though. Like, what... How is this different from what people may have seen you in the past with, as you know, Step Back Leopard or the Hush List or, you know?
I would say it's just the evolution of where I'm at now musically.
Yeah.
Having a child, you know, that's probably the main key of my focus has changed. You know, I'm still writing music all the time. It's spilling out of me. It probably will always be that way. But it's just kind of changed the emotion and changed the focus of my life. And that right there, I see as an evolution for myself. So I've got the Hush List. I've got the Step Back Leopard. I've got the Leopard. You know, those have always been stages of elevation. I've tried to make it visual for people to see something tangible, which is it started here and now it's here. So Kodak is just that next level. It's not, it's a separation between what I've been doing with the Hush List or what I've been doing solo. This is with my a really good friend of mine, and so that's what we wanted to go under. That's mm-hmm. what we united as a group. So
yeah, you is this something you plan to eventually get a record out sometime?
Yeah, we've definitely been working on a record. I think we got about 20 songs recorded so far.
Oh, wow.
So we've been taking our time. It's been working the last couple of years, and you know, there's really no rush. I mean, I don't rush any of my music just because of the fact of like, if I'm going to put it out, I want it to be the best thing it's going to be put out. So I believe it. That's the way that a lot of artists work. You know, a lot of my heroes work that way too. So there's no rush to put it out, but I do want you to know that we will be leaking music here shortly. We definitely have some tasty things that we want to present, and I'm sure if you've been following any of my Instagram stuff, solo stuff, that you've seen me play some stuff live, like in the moment type of things, and I've just been showcasing little pieces of music that I've been writing. So if you've been following, you probably have already had a taste of some things that are about ready to come. So
nice. Yeah, man. Yeah, I see. I've seen you been doing some of those live concerts on there and stuff. Like, it's that's pretty cool. I mean, I think like it's kind of the, you know, gearing up to release, or you know, or holding people over, you know, till then. It's nice to have that constant interaction, whatever it is, through videos and, you know, through Instagram and Facebook and everything.
Absolutely.
You know, let people know, hey, we're still out here. We're still doing this thing, even though we haven't put out this record, or it's been a while since the last one, or whatever it is. But it's nice to keep, you know, reminding people, hey, we're still doing this, and
we're still growing. We're still doing what we love to do. Yeah, we do that too. You know, sometimes I think I hold on to it the most of, well, we got to constantly keep doing stuff. You know, like that's always in the back of my brain, where it's just pump out as much as possible, which it works to a certain extent. But I also think that coming in spurts allows people to digest it long enough to stay relevant with you.
Mm.
So it's kind of been a battle in between those two feelings of, we need to do as much as possible, to I only want to release a little bit at a time to keep you going.
Yeah.
It's a trail. You know, we're giving crumbs. We're trying to get you to continue to keep on this path with us. So,
yeah.
You know, even though it sucks for me, because I want to release everything I have immediately. I want the world to see it. I want the world to be able to chew it up and relate back to it. There's a time and a place for everything. So, you know, where I'm feeling emotion-wise and how I am doing my day in and my day out, that's really my triggers on how I want to release things. So the stuff that I'm getting ready to do with Kodak, that name may not stay. It may evolve. It may evolve into something else. You know, it's just, that's the way I want people to perceive it. It's just a name, but it's a pinpoint. It's to show you, here's where I'm at. So the new music that we're working on right now, it's been a culmination of things that have been going on probably the last 10 years. And it's stuff that maybe didn't make it in the Hush List that I wrote for them, or didn't work on another project, and I just kind of put it back in the Rolodex, and it made sense to use it for my own stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where Ryan comes in, and he's one of those people that just, okay, he gets it. He gets how I play. He gets my understanding of how songs should be formed and whatnot. And he's just a beacon of light. He adds a lot of aspects that I don't necessarily look at as an artist. So he's a very special cat to me, and that's the reason why we're doing these shows together.
Yeah, man.
So we'll probably do a slew of them this year, in between other stuff that I'm doing. But yeah, it's special, and it's exciting.
Yeah. You're saying how like the leaving a trail. Like I feel like EPs are like a cool way to go today. Like releasing music, and because like you're saying, like, as a fan, like, you could drop like a 15 songs or a double album or whatever, I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to love it. But as soon as that's done, I'm like, okay, when's the next one? So it's like
we just worked on that for 3 years.
Right, yeah.
So,
but as a fan, you're constantly wanting, you're hungry for more too. Just like, you know, you're saying you want to release all this stuff. We would love that, but we'd always still be wanting more. Yep, so it's nice. Yep. So.
And the way that I put that to a lot of people is that music's already oversaturated.
Right.
There's so much. There's almost so much that gives you anxiety because you don't know which direction to turn it. So it can be difficult. And I try and keep that loose leafed, which meaning is I just try to, when people, I know people like you and a lot of friends who have always supported me and always constantly are like, hey man, thanks for dropping that. Or, you know, thanks for putting this music out or for allowing us to be a part of that. That means the most to me out of almost even more than making the music. Is that reaction that I get from people. And I think that right there is important enough not to show until it's time. Because I am now treating you as how I treat myself, which is when it's time and it's right, that's when it's going to mean the most. You know, I may not release music for 8 to 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may be 2 years. And I have people all the time hitting me up saying, man, when are we going to get some more stuff? When are we getting the hush list? When are we doing this? And it's not because I don't want to give you what I have. It's because everything serves its place. Everything has a purpose.
Right.
And the music that I have and the feelings that go into it and the creative process that comes with writing the songs that I write, it doesn't necessarily make sense for the time that it needs to be released. So that's why I hold off.
Yeah.
That's those crumbs. I want to give you a little bit. I will always give you a little bit. And then I will start slowly putting things out. So... Mm-hmm.
I mentioned, off mic a little bit about some of the stuff I've been doing with the show, trying to, like, sometimes there's people out there I've been trying to get, and then I always feel like I kind of get down on myself. I'm like, you know, that hasn't happened yet and things, but then I always realize, like, it all happens when it needs to happen, and then when it does, it's great. So
it's exactly like, what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so.
That patience factor.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the biggest troubles too. And it, for me, honestly, I didn't realize this until I had my own child. Is patience is a virtue. Patience is one of the key things that a lot of people don't have. And it's not because they don't want to have it. You know, it's just one of those things. It's like until you've been shown the way, you don't understand.
All right.
And so with a child like this, it has allowed me to understand that it's not necessarily about me. It's about the process itself. You know, with her, I'm watching her grow and she's going through these growing pains and sometimes she's not feeling good. Sometimes she's feeling amazing, you know. You have to be able to level both of those feelings out. And you have to be there. I'm her dad. Mm-hmm. I got to make sure she's comfortable. And I feel that relating to my music is the same thing. Like, the fans and the people who have followed me from the beginning are my children. Those are my babies. These are the people who build me up to be what I am. And that allows me to do what I do creatively. And you're as important, if not more important than me. So I want to make sure when I release stuff and I drop it, it's the dopest, freshest shit that right. you were like, that's why we waited 2 years. So that's why we waited 9 months.
Yeah.
You know? It all serves its purpose.
Yeah, man.
And I'm just a little cog in this huge, big, you know, this huge, big machine. But I know how to do things the way that I know how to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, if you stick around long enough, you'll see that I won't let you down. So,
do you play music for her a lot?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Almost every single day.
Yeah. She respond to it?
She loves it.
Yeah,
we did. We were just talking about the Instagram Live thing me and Ryan did a couple weeks back. And it's a fun little trip. You know, it's about 15, 20 minutes worth of time. We just had a little bit of material. We didn't want to give it all away. You know, we want you to come to the show. But you know, we played a couple songs, and my wife was here because she was watching Led Zeppelin. And once it came on, Megan had it going, and she was like, okay. Here's your daddy. And she was in her little pack and play, and she stood up and she's like, dad. And she just started rocking out. Like, she knows my voice. She knows when I sing. She's very receptive of it.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be a drummer.
Yeah.
I've been really wanting to push her in that direction. let's bring another Bonham into this world. That's what I want. Yeah. I want another, not a Jason, I want a John, right. You know? So she's constantly moving. She's like, she understands rhythm. She loves music. We play music to her every morning she gets up. You know, every night before she goes to sleep, she's listening to music. So it's constantly instilled in her.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Yeah,
it's an important thing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly why, but I'm pretty sure it probably had a big part to do with it. But my parents constantly played music around the house. My dad played a little bit, a little electric guitar, played some harmonica,
awesome,
and stuff. But they, you know, constantly had records
something going on, right? Yeah.
And then whenever we would like go on like family vacations, we always had the boombox out there with a CD. We always had, you know, my dad was big into the blues and southern rock and all this stuff.
Absolutely. So we
had, always had, you know, ZZ Top or, you know, Eric Clapton or whatever, you know, all this different stuff. So all that's like just ingrained in me. Like I just, you know, absorbed all that music and you know, so I think that's a lot of why, you know, shaped, you know, developed me who I am today.
I definitely believe that is, man.
So I'm sure starting at, you know, even before 1 year old and, you know, getting exposed to all this, I'm sure.
Oh, she was in the womb listening to Zeppelin.
Right.
And her favorite song is In the Evening by Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Like that, she knows it every time we play it. And we don't play that one all the time because we're in the middle of trying to get another record player. We've got a whole bunch of records and stuff. And I grew up that same way too, Shane. I mean, my parents listened to records.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to Genesis and ZZ Top and anything down to the Beatles.
Right.
We listened to it all. And it definitely did shape me as the person that I am. I started playing guitar by 8 years old. You know, by the time I was 10, my dad used to tell me all the time, "You've already passed me up." You know, my dad was a good guitar player. And when he was trying to wrangle us in when we were kids, you know, that's what he would do. He'd sit on a stoop and he would start playing guitar and our crazy little selves would come sit down and start rocking around. We just loved it.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuck with me from the beginning was I want my daughter to have that from day one. I want her to know that whether you're having a crappy day in life or you're having the best day of your life, music is what brings us all together. And that's what allows you to feel those emotions that you may not necessarily understand. The words and lyrics and songs help you connect. And that's important to me as well as it is everyone else in life. And I think that that's the reason why I've been so adamant on trying to share my music is that I don't just write stuff. I write stuff that's real. I write stuff that matters and it's a part of my life. And if you listen closely, you can tell tidbits. Or even if you know who I am, you probably have more of like a relative idea of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I try and keep it open enough for everybody so that it's a feeling. It's not necessarily about the for me, not all the time, it's not always about the lyrics. It's about the feeling. The song itself has so much life and feeling in it. So that's what I want people to relate to. And because that's what I got out of music.
Yeah, man.
When I was hearing the first Abbey Road record from Beatles, was like, holy cow, like, those guys wrote powerful things. And it wasn't always about the lyrics, it was the harmonies and the drums and the simplicities of things that they did, but it was all combined into one thing.
Right.
And it was almost too much to be able to take in at once, and that's what I loved about it was that intrigued me to want to know more. That's what I want people to know about my music, is to be like, where can I find more of this? Like,
yeah.
Where? I'll wait. I'll wait until you release music. I don't care how long it is. So,
I feel like for me personally, being a fan for the Birds, I think would is a good example of all. Like that seems to be the one that I think a lot of people connected to a lot. Like especially the lyrics.
Absolutely.
And stuff. And like it just spoke to so many of us. I don't know. Is that probably the If you get the most comments about that song?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the funny thing about that is I wrote that song in like 10 minutes.
All right.
It was there. It may have been something that I didn't even know was going to come out, and it just came out.
Yeah.
It came out at the right time. And I think that's probably going to stick with me forever.
Yeah.
I've always had people try to connect to me that way. you know, even new people to listen to a record, I'll sell them a record today, and tomorrow they'll come and be like, dude, this song is awesome, Hush is awesome, but For the Birds, holy cow. And it's like, good, then I did my job to relay that in the way that I was feeling it myself. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's about personal stuff, that's about family, that's about trying to have children and right. and not being able to, and going through those trials and tribulations of life, and almost losing yourself as well as your companion, the person who is there to help you and support you, and then finding out like you're a stronger person than that, and sticking through it to get to that next point. So I think that's why a lot of people relate to it, is it's a feeling. It's a feeling that we all go through. Yeah. We all are sad, and then we try to process and relate, and then we get back to where we need to be.
Yeah.
It's For the Birds is that same thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like I said, that's one of my favorite parts of music, is just like that, how real it is, and that connection that you can develop and stuff. And like I said, like, I mean, sometimes I feel like, you know, you could have wrote that about my life or you know, or whatever. It's like you can put yourself right there. Like, I've been there. I've been there, you know, at that point, one point or something. So
it's relative with everything.
Yeah, man.
Anything that's going on in life. Those are hard. That's a hard thing to be able to. What I think I found out is that the process of music, I used to try so hard, and I would sit here and be like, I gotta get this song out. I gotta get it out. And I would fail, and I would fail, and I would fail, and I would fail. And I'd walk away from it, and I wouldn't come back to it for a month or two. And it would always creep back up. I'd be like, working on something else, and I'd be like, well, let me pull this song up real quick. Boom, boom, boom. And then I'd shoot it out like it was nothing. And I tried to figure out why that was happening until I finally realized that it was me. I was putting that pressure on myself that didn't need to happen. It should be organic, because to be relative and to be relative to anybody, especially the masses, which is what we want to try and do with music, it should be a free thinking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be complex. Although there is music out there that is complex, and we, you know, each one of us like it differently or whatever. I have always, not always. Like I was saying, it's taken a process. I've been doing this now for 19 years, performing and playing music. The process that I do now is more simplistic and stripped down because of the path that I've gone. And I've had to learn the hard way. You don't have to force anything. Life isn't about being forced. It's about experience. You know, whether you experience a billion things in your lifetime or you experience a handful of things, what's the most important thing? That experience.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You experience a billion things, you may not remember all those things. There may be a couple little key things, but that brings you back down to that normal factor of these little handfuls of things that I have in my life are the most important things, and that's the most valuable thing that I could give or get. And that's how my music is I am very selective. Now, especially in my process, I don't release everything. I've got hundreds of songs that I've done within the last couple of years. And people will probably never hear that stuff because it was a thought and a feeling at that time and it didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or it made sense to me and I couldn't relate it to everything else. So that's how it goes. That's how music is. A process, just like in life. You go to school, you graduate college, you get a job, you have a family, you have kids. It's all these steps and platforms that you try and get to in life. In my music, I do the same exact thing. And that's how I try and keep it relative with everyone else in life, is I want you to know my process. I want you to know what it takes to get to here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why, like, I don't just release anything. Like, I got music that I've been holding on to for a long time that people don't get to listen to. They may never. Mm-hmm. But when the time is right, that's when I release stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, So everything for Kodak is currently under your personal?
Yeah,
it's
under just Christopher Curd.
Yeah,
you can find it under my own personal page.
Yeah, so, but keep up to date, get plugged in, and
absolutely,
there'll be some things coming very soon, hopefully.
I've been kind of trying to do a Friday to Friday thing, just it's a good day. Everybody, it's either a payday or it's the end of the week for a lot of people. So I try to keep it happy and keep the pipes up for everyone. So that's when I've been releasing little tidbits of music, and I'll continue to do that until I start releasing songs. So soon enough, we've got some stuff down the pipeline, and it's going to be perfect when it comes out. So I can't wait.
Yeah, man. And again, grab tickets for March 30th.
$8.
Blueberry Hill, four bands.
Since we're playing acoustic, somewhat acoustic, I think we're probably opening up the show. Nonetheless, it's going to be a great one because we'll be prepared. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully, you guys get there early enough for us to just open it up wide open for the rest of the night.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's going to be a fun night for sure. So, yeah, Ticketmaster or the Suite 100. Wherever you want to grab your tickets, but be there or pay cash at the door. I'm sure you can do that too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, man, I'm pumped. I'm excited for some new tunes. And if you haven't checked out the Hushless record or any of that, it's all available on Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff. So
all platforms.
Yeah.
The best place. You can also find some of the older acoustic stuff that I did on the hushlessband.bandcamp.com. There's a record that I did, I think 2010 is when I released it. It's called The Colors Underneath. And that has some of the songs that we're playing relative to today. And I've got a whole bunch of new stuff in store. So,
yeah, man. I'm pumped. I'm ready for some new tunes. And I'm excited to hear what you guys got, man.
So. Yeah, it's been 6 years since I played a solo show. So I'm ready for some new tunes myself.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you so much, Chris. It's been awesome, man. Getting to
likewise.
Catch up. So
likewise, always a pleasure, Shane. Yeah,
man. I'll see you soon, buddy.
The song is called "I Can't Even."
Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff along the throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.